Show. All right, everyone. Episode 171 of the 580 Show. Special guest this week. I'm joined by national champion and podium at Official Strongman Games, Coach Justin Loy. Thanks for joining, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, so like I was saying, I've been geeking out about nutrition a lot lately, and you're one of the top guys that everyone recommends in Strongman. So want to talk about your coaching and just touch on a lot of FAQs that people have typically with nutrition in Strongman.
Sure. Yeah. It's one of those, nutrition seems to be one of those like untapped things that when it comes to like training and like people do, everybody's just like really focuses on like training, training, training.
Right.
And then they don't get into, you know, the diet piece of it. And they're like, oh, I'm doing good. And then it's like, are you really though?
Yeah, no, I tell people all the time, and I'm by no means perfect with my diet. Like, you know, most of us aren't. I'm trying to be better and better, but like, you don't realize how much people don't know about nutrition until you really start to talk to people. And that's no knock, but like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, for example, one of the guys training our gym, I was actually talking to him today because he's on like a big like weight loss journey. He's a strong man, hit 350, like 350 pounds, and trying to get down, like lose 100 pounds almost. And he goes from 11 a.m. until he's done training at night at 8:30 eating. And I was like, oh my God, like, dude, you have to. And he just didn't like really know that that was like the wrong thing to do.
Right.
Like, he's literally eating his last calories for the day until after training, but before noon, comes and has a heavy session, whatever, you know, event training, and then doesn't eat till 8 p.m., 8:30 p.m.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if he's a big dude, he's probably got a lot of fat reserves to pull from, but not, I mean, fasting definitely has its place, but not always like ideal for like strength training.
Yeah, for sure. I had a lot of success with intermittent fasting like years and years ago, because I cut from like, I was walking around when I did powerlifting like 240, and I just dieted down using intermittent fasting. But to be honest, I don't think it's advantageous for strength athletes, but it also depends, whatever. I'm sure you would agree, but like, whatever diet you're going to actually stick with within moderation is the best for you. But
right. And what I've seen a lot of times with people who do fasting is they get, because it almost like you do it enough and it almost gets addictive to like not eating.
Dude, it's like CrossFit and like stuff. Like, you have to start. Like, dude, I would just be at the grocery store and just tell like a random 75-year-old lady that I'm intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like so addicted to it. I was reading books. I was like everything. You're 100% right. That's funny.
But I think like when people do it, because it gets that like addictive quality to like, you know, how much can I not eat? How long can I go kind of thing? And people, especially like with strength training, because like, you know, if you're not kind of separating things out and like making like the goal, like here, I'm focused on losing weight, but people like, you know, kind of mix goals of like, well, I want to lose weight and get really strong. And they're not, you know, so they'll be doing the intermittent fasting thing, which can work, but then you start to, I've seen a lot of times where people start to like under eat a lot.
Yeah.
And then they'll say something like, you know, intermittent fasting didn't work for me because, you know, I was just lacking energy. I didn't feel great and everything. And then you find out like, oh, you're only eating 500 calories a day. Like, really, like in your eating window, you really need to power down some food.
Yeah. So this is like super specific to the one guy that I just randomly brought up from our gym. But like, if you were fasting, like if you had an athlete or whatever that wanted to fast, would you prioritize like caloric intake around training?
I would still put everything around training. And like some people I have not 100% fasting, but if I have them on a big cut or something, I will put the most, like all their carbs right around training or, you know, the bulk, like I'd say like, you know, 65, 70% of their calories just right there. at training, and then and then everything else is pretty much just straight protein.
Nice. That's cool.
So yeah, for but yeah, for intermittent fasting, I would put, I mean, if you're training like first thing in the morning, because I used to train first thing in the morning, like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I just didn't eat before. I didn't want to mess with it, whatever. But then after that and the rest of the day, I'd make sure that I was eating enough, especially like a big meal right before bed. A little bit of carryover there. You know, I would feel a lot better doing it that way than waking up, trying to shovel down a lot of food at 4 a.m. and then going to train hard. You're just out of breath and feeling fat.
Sure. Anytime I've tried to train early, like 5 or 6 a.m., like I've severely struggled to eat. Like, I have to keep it like super light. And I hear that from a lot of people. But okay, getting away from fasting, because I didn't have you on to talk about intermittent fasting. I promise. I was sidetracked about that. But
so, no, it is. Fasting is interesting though, because like it's, I don't know, it definitely has its place, and people can like, there's ways you can use it. Because I have people that do fast for specific reasons, but it's not like the long term like thing, especially like. Somebody's trying to get like prepping for a contest or something. I'm not going to have them like fasting or anything.
That's, right. That makes sense.
Wild.
But so, like I said, you have a coaching business, Prestige Performance, right?
Yes.
And I know you do nutrition and performance training both.
Right.
I'm just going to kind of talk about, is the majority of your stuff nutrition, or is it kind of like a pretty healthy, like mix of like performance and nutrition training?
Yeah, I'd say like 80% of my stuff is nutrition.
Yeah. How did you get about being in nutrition?
So I guess I've always been interested in it. Cause back going way back to when I was, you know, younger, I was kind of fat. Like I just like to have a good time, like to party, you know? And then I realized like, I was tired of like being fat, and I didn't 100% know what I was doing. I just knew that I needed to eat more, eat cleaner. And cause it was all over the place. Cause I worked, you know, I grew up in like agriculture. So, you know, farming, working all the time, not really like eating like one meal a day sometimes and then drinking a lot of beer.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I just knew that I needed to eat more. And so I just made one year we went, it was one spring during planting, and I just made the same thing. I had three meals and a snack, and I made the same thing every single day for the entire planting season. And I lost, I think, 35 pounds in, I don't know, 3 months or so.
Yeah.
And that's not exercising. That's just working and not sleeping. And from there, that kind of like, that interested me because I didn't know. I was like, I don't know what I did. I don't know how that worked. I want to know like why that worked. And then it just kind of grew from there.
That's awesome. Like, so you coach and obviously you're a very successful competitor within Strongman yourself. And we'll talk about that too. But you're from Indiana?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So that explains the farming. What part of Indiana?
Yeah. I'm north of Indy, about an hour and a half.
Okay. I have family that lives in Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
So when it comes to actual strongman competitors, even just strength athletes, I mean, we primarily focus on strongman, so we'll kind of try to stick to that. But what are things like that you see people doing that are like either common misconceptions or just like general mistakes, without giving away all your secrets, obviously, for your coaching, but like just like things that someone that wants to self-coach, get a little bit less fat, you know, maybe look a little bit better in strength sports. What are like things that you see people doing wrong and maybe some quick like fixes?
So I think one of the biggest issues I see is people associating their body weight to strength. And I think that comes from newer people to like training. You know, maybe they got like a coach for their first time, or they've like started taking things seriously and they started to make a little bit of progress, and they're afraid to lose the progress they made by losing weight.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And so, you know, I have, I've seen the people that have, you know, they will start, because I've dealt with this, where we'll start to, they're like, I want to lose some weight. And it's like, okay, you know, like, we're going to do that. And I'll explain, like, you know, there will come a time that you're going to, like, you're going to start to feel really good, because we're going to clean up your diet. You're going to be eating a lot more volume of food, you know, than what you were. And then there's going to come a time where you don't feel so great, and you may have to dial your training back. That doesn't necessarily mean you're getting stronger. We're just, you know, in a big deficit, or not getting weaker.
Yeah,
sorry.
Weaker. Yeah.
No, and no. We need to, you know, you're going to go through this period, but we're going to turn it around and everything's going to come back real fast. And, you know, they can't, some people have a hard time committing to that.
Yeah.
Because the weight, you know, the weight starts to get a little bit harder on the bar, or, you know, they can't load as much. They don't know how to gauge their training. You know, it's like, not everything has to be 90% of your max all the time to make progress. And that's where I've seen a lot of people fall off, because they can't commit. And then they're just stuck in this constant, repetitive, never making progress in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So. It's like, it's kind of like that, like one step back for two step forward type of thing. Like,
right.
And I also do think that you have to almost, if you're focusing on weight loss, strength gains have to take a backseat, right?
Yes.
Vice versa. Like, if your strength gains are going to be in like a caloric surplus. So that's a great point. I definitely, the other thing too, if you're losing weight, you're losing leverages, right? Like, you're not losing leverage. Your leverages are changing.
Yes.
So like, you may have had that nice belly to sit down on a squat, and now you've lost 30 pounds and recomped or what, it may just be different. So yeah. No, that's a really, really good thing to consider. I think it's like, focus on one goal at a time when it comes to that stuff. And yes. Then, you know, have parts of the year, like, hey, this 3 months I'm going to recomp, and then I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to do this contest. So,
mm-hmm. And I think with newer people, you know, some people that are either newer to competing or just taking lifting seriously altogether, you know, and really focusing on their diet and training, those are the ones that you can, like, they can do a lot. They can get stronger and lose weight because they're getting like those quote unquote beginner gains,
yeah,
and everything. But it's the people who have been doing it for a little longer, or maybe, you know, even bigger, you know, have a excess amount of body fat, you know, somewhere 30 some percent or so, that you got to look at, like, okay, you know, like, this is how this is going to go. And, you know, we got to commit. But then, like, if they can see, you get them to see the value in it of, like, you know, we drop some body fat, you're going to feel better. Your body's going to work better. You're going to be able to train harder, longer, you know, this and that. We're going to put on more muscle mass, and, you know, we lose the body fat. Essentially, we get better, kind of thing. And it's all just painting a picture.
For sure. No, that's great. Are you a proponent of quality of food matters, like in a diet, like with your clients?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, like, there was like probably like 5 to 10 years ago where it was like, it seemed like nutrition and strength sports took a huge turn to like just strictly calories in, calories out. Like, kind of, yeah. Like, we see it kind of like with Sam Sulek right now. Like, a lot of kids, like, I own a gym, so I see a lot of like the younger kids just eat like honey bun, and you can get away with it when you're 16. Like, I get that, but yeah, no, I was curious what your thoughts were on that. Like, the quality of food, your ground beef, your fruits, like stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's like case by case dependent. 'Cause I think when you're just starting out following a diet, or, you know, you're trying to make big changes and learn new, you need to build new habits. You need to build new eating habits. And that means getting rid of the junk food, getting rid of the soda, getting rid of everything, and resensitizing your palate, making, you know, eating clean foods, you know, homemade foods, keeping it. I always have people just try to have people keep it as simple as possible. That way there's little room for error. The less, you know, the less products we have, the less processed foods we have, we're going to be digesting that better. We're going to be, you know, utilizing things. Cause I'm really big on digestive and metabolic efficiency and, you know, really like looking at the performance piece of, you know, let's utilize, let's figure out how to use all of the nutrients that we're putting in our body well. So then you go through that period and you take, then you have somebody, you get them to where they're just a good burning engine and you can put anything in their body and they're going to tear through it. So then that's when you can start introducing those cheat meals and dirtier food and all this, because their body's primed, everything's working correctly and you can utilize that. Like you hear people that, you know, eat, they'll go eat like fast food or junk food or something. They're like bloated and they feel like crap from it. And that, that happens because we're not, you know, digesting that well. It's all just sitting in there doing all that stuff. But if we have everything clicking and moving, you can go, for the most part, you can eat that stuff and it not negatively affect you. And, you know, one, like one meal, you get to that point where like one meal is not going to derail everything.
Right.
But someone new to that, you know, one meal can derail them, especially mentally, if you're trying to get them to a point where they don't, you know, have like, you know, a big dependency on food.
Yeah, like or cravings from
having
that for so long.
Right. So, and I think it has its place. And then like, you know, getting close to contest prep, like you're getting in contest prep, right? Mm-hmm. You want that recovery. You want all those things. You want your mind to be right. And right. So keeping a diet super strict, if someone's in a, you know, got the room to play, then yeah, dirty it up, because you're going to get some benefit there. You're going to get some recovery benefit. You're going to get, you know, a dopamine hit from eating good food. It's going to keep you mentally feeling better, kind of things like that. So there's a lot that goes into a cheat meal
for
benefit, you know?
Well, that was one of my bullet points. And you kind of almost just touched on it, but like I heard someone talk recently. I can't even remember if it was on our podcast or someone else's, but I was talking to someone about nutrition and they were talking about just like let your cheat meals be determined by just like life. Like, right. You know, cause I hate to say it, but no one can really be 100%. I mean, bodybuilding is like the next level of like strictness. That you sign up for a bodybuilding show, you're committing to, you know, you have to eat dialed for however long, you know. Mm-hmm. But like strongman, it's like we were talking before this, like I have a newborn kid upstairs, you have a 5-year-old at home. It's like something may happen and we gotta have that shitty road on the meal, that shitty meal on the road.
Yeah, right.
Like that's just life. I forget who talked about it, but they're like, let life handle your cheat meals. Cause so many people, I'm sure you run into it a lot coaching people in nutrition, but like, hey, when's my cheat meals? Like, is it this day? Is it this day? Is it after 7 days? It's like, you know, can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
So yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, I'm to the point now where I don't like get excited by like a cheat meal kind of thing. Like I don't plan out like, oh, I'm going to have all this stuff. Like when I'm in comp prep and getting real close and like feel like shit all the time, like then I get excited about something. But for the most part, I normally don't. And a cheat meal for me is normally just like a steak and pasta or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, I like to have those kind of set in on certain days for people. But I think that, you know, there's enough, because I like to have people, for the most part, as long as everything's on point, I like to keep people I go with like an 85% rule. So and this is after, you know, starting out, we may be 90%, we may be 95%, but as long as we got everything on point, I go with an 85% rule. So we got, you know, 85% on, you know, and then 15%. Of variability in there for, you know, whatever. That's your cheat meal. That's you miss a meal. That's you don't have food prepped or you're out and about and kind of get that. So I think it just falls those. I agree that like a lot of times those like naturally fall into place.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when like none of us are really doing this for a full-time job, you know, besides the very few 0.01%. So No, that makes sense. No, yeah. You said something about like when we were talking about quality of food, and I think I heard you on a I wrote this down because I remember listening to you on a podcast. This is probably like a year or two ago. I think it was Camby's podcast.
Probably.
And you were talking about like a little drink that you do for gut health.
Yeah.
Can you share that with me? Because I remember I put a note. This is super random, but I put a note for me to remember to ask you about that because I thought it was super interesting.
Yeah, so the morning health bomb.
Yes.
I've been on this from the start. I've been doing this for years. And all of my clients love it. Really, they hate it, but I just make them do it anyway. But so it's super greens and beets and apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
So
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
yeah, so we're getting, and I got some other drinks that I have people do, but that's pretty much the staple that I put everybody on right away. And that's like the greens. So we have a ton of micronutrients, ton of minerals, ton of things that our body is not getting all the time through meals. Especially like I'm not against vegetables. I have certain vegetables in, but for the most part, I don't really push a lot of vegetables because I think they just take up for the most like, you know, kind of take up space that we could be filling with carbs and protein. So this drink, we're getting a lot of minerals, a lot of micronutrients with the beets. We're doing a lot of stuff for our blood from like nitric oxide boosts and stuff like that. And the apple cider vinegar, we're getting a lot of the one with the mother with the bacteria in it. So we're getting a lot
Okay.
of stuff working on our gut there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had just had that in my note because I remember writing it down like a long time ago, and I think I'm gonna just start doing it every morning now that you were
Yeah,
on.
it's one of the few things that I do and I know other people do that they like you actually feel a difference from when you're doing it to when you're not.
Now, do
Because
you
I've had people start on it and they're like, this is disgusting. And I'm like, yes, I know, but just drink it.
Yeah.
And then they'll drink it for like, you know, I always like encourage for like the first month. And then I'm like, okay, you know, as long as we're on point with everything, you know, if you choose to stop doing it, that's fine. Or if you like, a lot of people fall into a routine with it where they're like, they only drink it on rest days or, you know, whatever, certain days. And I've had more times than not, a lot of people, they're like, you know, I stopped doing it because it was gross. But then I realized how good it made me feel. So I added it back in and I just deal with it.
Now, do you recommend doing that in the morning?
I normally do it, yeah, first thing in the morning.
Before you do any, like before you eat anything else?
Yeah, I'll try it. Like, it's normally for me, it's like a first thing in the morning thing. It's probably a little better with having it with a meal. This way, there's something to bind to, but I've just gotten such in the routine of drink it first thing in the morning with my vitamins and stuff. And then I'll go for my walk and then I eat.
That's cool. Yeah, I just thought it was super interesting because I got super into the vertical diet like a long time ago
Yeah.
and he talks just so much about gut health that just rung a bell with me. So let's talk about actual strongman competitions and nutrition based around that. We'll skip the real annoying part of like the water cut and everything. But like one question I get a lot when we put up the FAQs and stuff about nutrition is how to eat on the comp day. Do you have like opinions you can share on eating around the competition, maybe even like the day before, stuff like that? Like let's just assume that this person has made weight
Sure.
and then kind of just talk about the actual competition.
Yeah, so let's go off of cutting weight because that's pretty common for people. So I'm big on rehydrating before eating. There's a lot of people, and it kind of dependent on how much you cut, but
right.
if you like, you know, a lot of people cut 20 some pounds and, you know, so you're cutting, you got to think about it. You're pulling out gallons and, you know, a bunch of gallons of water out of your body.
Yeah.
Maybe like upwards of like 3 gallons, maybe not gallons, but like a couple, 3 gallons. Right. So you gotta, so I think for everything to start clicking, we need to be hydrated.
Right.
And so you see a lot of people that as soon as they make weight, they start shoveling in food.
I'm so happy you touched on that.
Yeah. And I'm not, and it works fine for some people. I've never been big on that.
Just because, I'm so jealous of when I see someone do it and they have like an iron gut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause like the first time I ever did a real weight cut, like, I mean, we're talking like, you know, like in that 7 to 8% range where you start to get up. And I remember doing it and then going to Texas Roadhouse, and I don't think I could have performed worse, and I don't think I could have felt worse.
Right.
So I'm so happy you said that.
Yeah, I've had that before too. Back when I was new and had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah,
I
didn't. Right.
Yeah, I made weight and I went and I ate donuts.
Right. Well, that was so. It was so like just normalized in strength sports. Like you just have your box of donuts, and you just start shoveling them right after. But strongman is so much different than powerlifting in the sense that you actually have to. I'm not saying you don't have to be like functional for powerlifting, but strongman, you know, like look at OSG this year. You might have a go ruck medley.
Right.
You have to be ready to move and feel normal for like a medley and stuff like that. So yeah, man, I'm always so envious of the guy.
Yeah.
I went and had 2 Big Macs and a Diet Coke. I'm like, how are you standing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've always compared a strongman to like a out of shape CrossFit.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. That's a very good way to put it. Yeah. Out of shape CrossFit and people that love their shit on CrossFit, even though it's like really impressive. In my I've always been a fan of CrossFit at like a high level. So
but yeah, hydration. Yeah. So so I think you want to put all that water back before you start eating. That way everything's clicking right. We want water in our muscles. That is essentially what we are going for when we are competing. We don't want to have dehydrated muscles. Right. So, so we start, you know, I always have people start right after weigh-ins, we put down a Pedialyte, and then I always have them have a gallon jug mixed up with all kinds of stuff that they start drinking on. If you can get an IV, that's going to be great because then you're cutting down, you know, you're replacing all this water. You're not filling your gut with water. And, you know, it's getting into your system faster.
Yeah.
And
so can I ask you a question about the IV real quick? Because I want to hear it from someone that's smarter than me, because I heard this from someone and I want to confirm it with you. So an IV, obviously, it's getting into you quicker, right?
Mm-hmm.
But someone said this to me, and I want you to fact check me on it. That, you know, so like, say I cut from 190 to 175 and I'm rehydrating, whatever, and I'm drinking my water, my stomach can only hold and process so much water. That IV is allowing me to actually, basically my body to take in more water than I could just orally, right?
Right.
Okay.
Like you're still, yes. So you're putting it, you know, when you do an IV, you're putting it directly into your system.
Right.
When you are drinking that water, you're filling your gut and then it's being processed out.
Yeah, you know, and your gut only has so much space and can handle so much at one time, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're much smarter than me. So I wanted to I say that to people, but
it's a much more efficient way to get it in. Essentially, like, you know, if you don't do an IV, you can still get the water in. Your absorption rate when you're that dehydrated is pretty quick.
Yeah,
but get that fast. I mean, if you can do an IV and skip sitting there just chugging a bunch of water, then, you know, all for it.
Right. No, it is crazy. I'm sure you've done a lot of IVs, but
it is
crazy how much better it makes you feel, so much quicker too. Like I felt like my rebound and like my sunkenness.
Oh yeah.
Rebounds a lot more. I was deathly afraid of needles. I had to force myself to not be for IVs because like Rebecca Lorch was huge on trying to get me to do them. And I'm very thankful for that because they feel so much better when you do it. So I'm happy you said that.
Yeah.
But so when you so you've made weight, you start to rehydrate. Hopefully, you're drinking your water, your Pedialyte, you're getting an IV, all that stuff. Do you introduce like softer foods, like when you start actually eating food, or like what kind of foods do you recommend people introduce?
So I play around with it a little bit.
Okay.
I have, and it kind of depends on the person. If I've been working with a person a while, I may have them do some different things. But initially, if I like somebody newer that I've never like done their cut or something before, then I'll have them start out like their breakfast be a little bit cleaner, a lot of carbs. Something just pretty much just like straight simple carbs like cereal or rice cakes or like even
Yeah.
pancakes or something. Just something to start putting a lot of carbs in. If I've been working with them for a while, I'll have them do, just like a normal breakfast. If you want like eggs, normally like not try to like stay away from like a lot of fat, but like do
Yeah.
some eggs, pancakes, stuff, donuts. If people want donuts, like go for it. I love donuts.
Yeah.
But want to make sure to get that hydration in first because I've had people that skip the hydration, go right to eating, and it shows with their performance. And so I normally get, kind of case by case will depend on like what their first meal is. But for the most part, I like to have people just be pretty clean for the first half of the day.
Okay.
Just putting down a lot of carbs.
Yeah.
And the amount of carbs normally depends on how much I have them on for their high carb days leading up to the competition.
Right.
Try to match that or, if it's a lot, maybe a little bit less on that refeed day. And then later in the day, start dirtying it up. And that's kind of I give them suggestions, but I kind of leave it open and say what to stay away from.
Yeah, for sure.
And
You know,
then, yeah.
you kind of you made me think of something when you said like, you're kind of basing it off like what their high carb days already are. So, because that's obviously what their body's used to, right? Isn't it kind of crazy how much people switch like they'll switch things like day week before, day of, during the comp, like, and I've never really understood that because you eat one way, right? And then your body's gonna, I understand, like, you probably have a lot more lenience on a comp day to eat like Sour Patch Kids and stuff like that. But like, people will not eat it, like, I don't know, like, they won't eat Chipotle the whole time for like 16 weeks and they'll have like nine Chipotle meals. You know what I mean? It kind of like blows my mind at that.
I think you should keep things consistent. I like to have people treat their comp day like a training day. Is it's a little bit longer, so we have some snacks in there. Or if it's a like an OSG, like have some meals while you're waiting your 4 hours for your next event.
Right.
But
No, 100%.
for the most part, you want it to be consistent. And I think like on that refeed day, like as long as your body can handle it and you're not having any issues, like dirty it up, like that's fine.
Sure.
But don't go crazy with it. Like we don't want like powering down. Like I've watched people go to KFC and just eat like a ton of fried chicken, and I'm like, bold
Yeah.
move. But
Yeah, it just goes back to some people just have like that iron gut. I'm freaking jealous. It's like Wes
it
Claiborne.
shows. I have yet at like that at, for most people, for the most part, I've yet to see somebody do that and then
Do well.
perform well.
100%, man. No, I'm only kidding. You're 100% right. So is it safe to say pretty much like around a competition, like, that carbohydrates are the main priority?
I like to keep a good amount of carbs, and then if we can, I like to get the fats up there too.
Okay. So what's the purpose for fats, like pushing fats up, like after you've made weight and everything like that?
So, oh, you're talking like after making weight, or are you talking like
Yeah.
when?
I'm talking about like you made weight, like competition, like for
Oh, okay.
like
Sorry.
I mean carbohydrates around a call, like literally like for OSG, say like you made weight on Thursday, and we're talking Friday, Saturday, if you can beat Sunday, like are
Oh.
carbohydrates the all that
Yeah, so.
matters? I mean, I don't want to say all that matters, but
Right.
the main priority.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Carbs definitely the main priority. You still want the fats
Sure.
because you're going to get a lot of benefit there, hormonal wise and processing wise. And you want to keep, try to keep your diet, similar
Okay.
there too.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot of recovery benefits from the fat. So like I like to have people have like a higher fat meal or something before bed.
Okay.
This is going to help with sleep, help with the recovery, all that stuff. And so that's normally like chocolate milk and cheesecake, and no one ever complains about
Yeah, hell no.
that.
That's so then is like protein basically just getting back to kind of like where it was in their diet, like whatever they're kind of shooting for, or like what are we looking at for protein when it comes to competition?
I don't hyper focus on the protein.
Okay.
I put it in there, but it's not the priority.
Okay.
Maybe if you're going into like day three, if you have like OSG, right? And you're going into a day three, you try to make that day two, maybe get some higher, like a, higher protein meals with that. But for the most part, for like a 1 or 2 day comp, we really want to put down a lot of carbs, a lot of salt and potassium, water, and then you're gonna get your fats in there,
Yeah.
but those don't have to be like crazy.
Yeah. I can't believe we made it this long without talking about salt.
Yeah, love salt. Salt's
Yeah.
great. Salt is undervalued.
For sure. I didn't really realize how important, well, like I talked about the vertical diet earlier, but like he puts a huge emphasis on salt. But like that was the first time I really heard about it being like a huge priority. And now I just salt everything, and it's, I think it's such a, I think it's
Yeah.
starting to get, I think it's starting to come to the limelight more, right? Like,
Right.
but
Well, because salt, I think it's definitely turning around, but salt used to be like the bad thing, the enemy,
yeah, it's like
back.
creatine with supplements. Like creatine used
Right.
to be like steroids, you know?
But people always go with sodium, they were associating your high blood pressure with too much salt. And they're like, "Well, you got to cut your salt, you got to cut your salt." And then they're still having like, people are still having blood pressure issues and everything, but that's not the case. If we have people with a lot of processed foods, a lot of sugars, a lot of, those fast food, whatever junk food you're eating, you're getting a lot of sugar in there. And
Right.
there's a genetic response that gets triggered that switches, that works in your kidneys. And you're going to start flushing more salt into your bloodstream. And that's what's causing your high, the salt content and the higher blood pressure. So we get the sugar under control, you're not going to have those problems.
Yeah. It's more like salt was the just kind of like wrongly selected out of what people were eating. People were making bad food choices, and they were blaming the salt, not the other
Yeah.
actually stuff that was harmful, right?
Right.
So why, can you explain why salt is so important for athletes?
Electrolytes, and we're helping with cramping and water retention. Big one is water retention, especially like you're training like summer, sweat a ton,
Right.
right? So we're using salts as a binder, and we're going to be holding onto more water, just like when you do a
Water
water
retention.
load. Yeah, like just like you do a water load, you really increase your salt intake. You're trying to hold on to as much of that water as you can. And there's a ton of benefits. That's the one that I like try to explain the most
Yeah.
of like, it's getting hot. Let's increase our sodium. And then
Yeah.
people with the blood pressure issues are like, "Well, my doctor told me to stay away from salt." I'm like,
Yeah, your
"No."
doctor's, yeah. No. Yeah, I always, for people that live down south, I think it's crazy like how hot it is, because I'm up in Pennsylvania, you're Indiana. Like I've never had to do the year round hot stuff. It's crazy for them how
Yeah.
important that stuff is. But Yeah. So this, I hope I'm not trying, I'm not trying to dig into your secrets with water cutting too much, because if people want to use you for water cutter nutrition, I highly recommend it. And go to Justin's site, and it's right on his Instagram bio. But when you're doing a water cut, do you measure out salt as the days go, or do you kind of just go based on like to taste and like kind of like peak it up and then have salt fall off? Like
I
what's
have, yeah. So I'll try to have people up it. I'll have them make sure they're heavily salting all their meals, heavily salting their water. And then I will, for some people, for newer people, I'll have them like, I'll try to give them like a range, like a grams range. No one measures out their salt.
Yeah,
So
I that's
I just, yeah. And those are things that I've learned too. Like,
right.
I can't make you measure out your salt. I don't even measure my salt. I just salt a lot, and I'm like, there we are.
Yeah. I like what you said about new people doing it, 'cause it's like when you have no idea about volumes, and like once you start counting your macros and doing meals right, you almost can like look at 6 ounces of beef in a Tupperware and be like, that's six. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you're new, you have no idea how much salt's like right. So that's actually a
Right.
great point by you to like how you kind of handle that.
Right. So I go like, if I'm having them add salt to their water, I'll go like with like a whatever, a teaspoon amount, or sorry, yeah, a teaspoon amount. Like this much of a teaspoon. Because that's easy, because like you don't have to measure it out. If you have like a teaspoon and like the big salt shaker, you can just like scoop it out and dump it in. But yeah, so I'll do, we'll increase salt as we increase water, basically, and then start, then we'll drop salt, drop carbs. And then hopefully everything goes well, everything flushes.
One more question about water cutting. Hopefully you don't
Yes.
mind. But are you a fan? Because like I've read books from nutritionists that like handle like UFC fighters' weight cuts, and like I've talked to nutritionists and strongman. Are you a fan of like of tapering? You like just say 1 gallon, 2 gallon, 3 gallon, and then completely cutting off, or do you like doing like 1 gallon, 2 gallon, 3 gallon, 2 gallon, 1 gallon? Like, do you pyramid up and down, or do you pyramid up and then cut?
I normally pyramid down.
Okay, so you work to a high volume water day and then
Right.
taper it down to like over the next couple days.
Right.
Okay.
And I try, and I've done both.
Yeah.
I've done the other way where we work our way up, but I've had more issues with that
Okay.
than doing it the other way. Especially like when it comes to like people having to sweat.
Sure.
Because if that water doesn't come off well, if you're taking down like 3 gallon of water, 2 days before weigh-ins, and whatever happens and that doesn't come off, you're sweating out a lot. And the other way, the tapering down, I think works pretty well. Gets you close. If you're making a bigger cut, gets you really close, and then you only got to sweat out a little bit. And I think for like mentally, it works a little better. Just because, because if you do it the other way, you take down, 3 gallons of water, that's 24 pounds of water. And if you're holding on to, like 3/4 of that or whatever, you're sitting 2 days out from weigh-ins, you could be sitting, whatever, 25 pounds heavy, and that causes people to freak out.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely because that's the way I do it, but it's definitely can be like for people that are just doing it, it's like psychological warfare.
Yeah. So
Like
what, so
that's,
you do the, you finish with it high?
yeah, I finish with it high.
How do you?
I've done both. So I've actually done worked like Anthony Deal back in the day is a big proponent of the way you're talking about it. And I fully believe like they both have their own science behind it. I think they both work. I think it's just
Yeah.
more what your preference is, to be honest.
How do you like, so what, if weigh-ins are on Friday, how much are you drinking on Wednesday?
Wednesday will be my super high day. So Wednesday I'll drink. It really depends where my weight's at, but anywhere from like 2 to 3 gallons,
Yeah.
probably closer to three, but I get it done earlier than not. So I'm like, it's a dogfight. Like, you're drinking 3 gallons by 5 or 6 p.m., you know, which is a full-time job.
Yeah.
But for me, I've never had an issue with it, but I definitely see what you're saying about, like, the psychological stuff where it's right. Like,
does it come off, like,
on the
when
scale,
you do that, does it come off pretty easy?
It does for me. I've heard people say it doesn't. I feel like I lose water weight very well. I can't complain. Like, for OSG, I think I was like 190. I was competing in the 80, so 175, just say. I think I was like 192 that Wednesday after my water, and just basically existing Thursday, taking a sweat stick. I dropped, like, I think I was in the low 180s by Thursday night.
Damn.
But it's a lot of sweating. Like, it's a lot of sweating. But I have noticed, like, when I have that much water in me, that sweat stick, dude, there's so much to take.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a sweat stick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Those things are – I don't even want to look up what's in it. And, like, it makes me nauseous. Actually, like, actually, psychologically, I associate it with, like, nausea now.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I don't – I look at the sweat sticks up in my little, like, my cabinet at my house, and I get nauseous when I look at it.
Yeah. Because
I remember that, like, two times a year where I have to take it, and I'm like, oh, God. But they work.
They're rough. They work.
Are we all going to, like, die because of them in, like 10 years, or do you think they're
probably
okay? Okay.
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't say that cutting
weight, you know, is – we should have –
tremendous amounts of weight multiple times a year is good for anybody, but
– No. You know, honestly, that's like, all jokes aside, that's something like we probably should preface by when we talk about water cutting, especially for newer people. You know, we talk about on the pod, we talk about amateur strongman a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like me and my buddy from the gym, Dante, he actually produces this pod. But we joke around a lot about, like, we've cut for the last 3 to 4 years for shows like Arnold or OSG or whatever. And people from the gym who may be more novices, and I'm not shitting on people, they see it and they're like, oh, I'll just water cut 15 to 20 pounds too. And it's like, you have to weigh out. You have to weigh it out. Is it worth it? And I'm not trying to be a dick.
Right.
Is any of it worth it? Right. Like, we're competing in strongman, you know, but like, there are serious health benefits. I mean, not health benefits, health risks.
Yeah.
You are severely dehydrating yourself. And, you know, I had Andrew Haynes on here before, and he said something. He was like, I'm a firm believer that you only have so many water cuts in your life that can go well. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, sitting heavy. So, no, man, you're 100% right. They're risky.
They are. And I have to explain, touching on the, like, the amateur people with cuts and stuff, there's – when I talk about weight cuts and everything, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I've lost, you know, 20 some pounds in 5 days, or I've had people cut 30 some pounds in 5 days. And I, like, people are like, oh, wait, well, what'd you do? Like, I want to lose weight. And I'm like,
yeah,
no, like, this is a temporary thing.
It is water manipulation.
We're going to drop all this weight, and we're going to put it back on in like 12 hours.
Right. Well, it's like UFC. Like, I don't know if you watch UFC.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, how is Sugar Sean O'Malley 135 pounds? I'm like, he's not. He's walking around above 160. Like, he's severely manipulating the water intake. Because that's the thing to remember, is you have 24-hour weigh-ins in strongman.
Mm-hmm.
That's very advantageous versus some power. I have people that talk about doing water cuts, and they compete in the USAPL for powerlifting. And I'm like, a water cut for 2 hours isn't really a thing for 2 hour weigh-ins, right? I mean,
I know people that do it.
And I bet they don't feel good unless, like, it's 3 pounds, 3 to 6 pounds.
So I have, actually right now I have a power lifter. He competes in June.
Okay.
Sometime June or July. And he's not too heavy. He competes in 90 kilo. And he's sitting at like 95 kilos right now.
Okay.
My goal, this is what I want to do. I want to bring his weight down a little bit, few pounds. And then I'm probably going to do a mini water load on him.
Yeah.
Just so we don't have to cut food.
Right. No. I probably should have specified more. That's 100% like what I mean. That's like the limits of what you can really do.
Right.
The 2 hour, like
Oh.
mini. I'm talking about people being like, I'm gonna water cut 20 something pounds. I'm like, dude, when I water cut 20 something pounds, I can't even think about lifting a barbell for 12
I
hours.
don't want to lift a barbell.
I literally don't
Yeah.
understand how anyone could do that. Like, you know that feeling like when you're just drinking water and getting your IV, like maybe you're assuming, you can't think about lifting a weight. I mean, I can't. Some people,
No, I
iron gut people, maybe, you know.
don't care about at that point for like the I don't know. I would say definitely like the cut week, but like Wednesday to I don't know, sometime like if weigh-ins are on Friday, sometime Friday afternoon, I don't even think about competing. Like I don't
No,
care. It
dude.
finally and then finally it hits me. It's like I gotta try to compete
Yeah,
tomorrow.
it's like shit. Yeah, I think like rolls is when it starts to kick in for me. Like if it's like the night before,
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I gotta like, I feel better now. I gotta like start to think about actually doing what I came to do. It's like a running joke in Strongman, but I think it's so true. Is like the first event for weight class athletes is making weight. I
Oh
mean,
yeah.
it's
Yeah, that's
very
the I say that's the I normally say that's like the hardest part
for sure,
when it
man.
comes for most people. I'm like, you know, we got through the hardest part of this competition. Now we go have fun.
Right. It has to be so hard for you actually managing people's weight cuts and how much different people are. Not even getting into genders, because I'm sure female, I've heard like female water retention is a lot different and females have different stuff going on at different times, and it's just it has to be crazy. You might have me and another guy and it may be completely different, right?
Yeah, I yeah, people's weight cuts are the same, or not, sorry, they're different. People's weight cuts are different. You know, I always try to get like people to a baseline of things,
Sure.
so that it can kind of be, you know, to where I can see, like, you know, this is how things are going to work the best. It doesn't always work that way, so we have to, like, you know, we change things. But yeah, everybody's is a little bit different. I've
Yeah.
been work, and then the people that I've been working with for a while, you know, we got it down, and now we're
Right,
just trying
yeah.
to. It's like, cool, let's now we're like fine tuning things.
Right. And people have, I'm sure like the you're almost like a psychologist as a coach sometimes you're more of like a psychologist and a friend
Yeah.
like a
As
shoulder to lean on almost and like
yeah, as Kim Scott and I talk about, I am just an underpaid therapist.
yeah right. No, that's dude, that's it's true. Like, and I've actually said with people, even if you think you know what you're doing and you might have water cut 20 times successfully and you're like, oh, I don't need the coach this time. I've always felt personally, and I'd be curious what you think is like your brain does get loopy when you're cutting weight and you
Yeah.
start to second guess and start like I think like intellectually you understand like no, I shouldn't do this or I should do this. But to have that person to bounce ideas off and tell them how you're feeling and like, hey man, my fucking bathtub at my Airbnb doesn't work and it can't get hot. What should I
Yeah.
do? Like just having someone to talk to, like you said about the therapist, it really
Yeah.
is true.
No, yeah, it no, it is good. I think it's good for, you know, a lot of people to have that person, you know, the accountability aspect, and just to, like,
100%.
you know, struggling or and whatever it may be, to, you know, just reach out and just like complain a little bit, or just
Right.
talk, or get
Well,
like get it out.
people's pain tolerance, it's just like training. I'm sure you see it with people that you train for performance. People's pain tolerances are different. What people can handle is different, like psychologically. So,
Right.
oh man, I could talk with you all day. I love this, but I know we got to get rolling because it's been like an hour. But do you
Of
prefer
course.
ice baths or saunas?
Oh, both.
I mean, not ice baths.
Oh, you're
Hot,
talking for cuts.
yeah, for cuts. Do you prefer like a warm sweat bath or do you prefer a sauna?
I hate sitting in the sauna for that.
Really?
Yeah,
I think I'm one of those few that still like the sauna better.
I know, I
Why?
got plenty of people that love sitting in the sauna. They'll, I'll just go sit in the sauna. I'm like, I can't. Like, I've tried the sauna before and I hate it.
Yeah.
So my go-to, I don't do this as much anymore, but I used to, get, I used to lather myself up in sweet sweat.
Uh-huh.
And then get in a sauna suit and get in a hot bath.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You drop some pounds down.
What do you normally walk around? You compete at 105, which is 231 for us Americans. What do you normally walk around? It might have varied throughout your career.
Yeah.
But like, what's your biggest cut?
My biggest cut was when I tried my first year at OSG. We had this brilliant idea that I was going to cut to 90. And
oh man,
I was a lot. That was my first year on the fitness team, so I was like, I was a lot smaller.
Yeah.
But I was keeping myself in like the mid 220s, and then I ended up jumping into Kentucky Strongest Man a few, like 3 weeks before, 2 weeks before. No. Yeah. 2 weeks before. And of course I'm like, you know, like in that mind of like, well, time to eat everything. And so then I went, I think after the comp, cause I was like the day after the comp, I started my water load. Cause it was back when I used to use like weird methods of water loading. And it was like a 2 week water load.
There's some crazy shit out on
yeah,
the internet. If you
yeah,
look
2 weeks,
water cuts.
2 weeks is rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I started that at, I was 232 pounds.
Oh, wow.
When I started my load, and that was the worst weight cut. Cause I got down to that last, like, I don't know, last 10 pounds. And it was like, I would take a 20 minute bath and I would lose like maybe a half a pound.
Oh,
and I got down to pretty close to weight. I think I was like on my scale. I think I was, I don't know, like a pound, little over a pound over.
Yeah.
And so we go over to make weight. And at this point, like they're like carrying me cause I'm down like 30 some pounds.
Right.
And I missed weight by like, it was like half a kilo or something.
Oh, wow.
And I had some wild ideas after that, but they didn't let me do it. So
yeah.
That's when I just bumped to 105. And I'm like, the whole time after we got done, I'm like, should have just prepped to compete 105 because I probably wouldn't have done so bad.
Right. No, it's, you just see and hear the craziest water cut stories. Like, I feel like we've all had that moment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who Bill Kendall is? He's a pro 105. He got his pro
yes.
card last year. He's good buddies with us. He actually just had his first kid this week, so congrats to Bill. But he took a sweat stick. You know how sweat sticks take a while to kick in?
Yeah.
My buddy Dante was telling me about it, but he took a sweat stick in the sauna and ugh, felt like it wasn't working, so took a full second sweat stick while in the sauna.
That's rough.
For the Arnold last year. I'm like, man, I can't even imagine taking two sweat sticks at once.
No. Oh. No, I don't even like taking one.
No, no. But no, man, like I said, I could talk to you about nutrition all the
time. Yeah.
I'm so interested. I think you're such a smart guy, but I'll let you go, man. And I appreciate the time. What's on the docket for you as a competitor?
So I got an OSG. I'm doing the OSG Midwest qualifier.
Okay.
In
so
July.
That's Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chad Coy.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that. And then, ASM and then OSG probably.
Cool, man.
That's the plan right now.
Awesome. Well, if they're watching on YouTube right now, we have your Instagram handle up.
Okay.
But if not, it's Justin_S_ProStrong on Instagram. And, you can check out his coaching right there, Prestige Performance. I always see you reposting people with like the logo and stuff on it. So definitely give Justin a follow and check out his coaching, man. I really, really appreciate the time.
Yeah, me too. This is great.
Yeah, dude. Well, thank you so much. We'll have to have you on again because
yeah,
I
thanks
feel
for
like
having
I have
me.
like
Anytime.
I have a million questions, but thank you, man. I appreciate it again.
Yeah. Thank
Thanks,
you for
guys.
Having me. It was great.